All right, I want to go to Kingdom of God part 10. We're still there. We haven't exhausted it yet. And I'm not going to keep you long today, but I want to take a look at a couple parables that Jesus continued describing the kingdom of God in, and look at what Christ called them to and what he's calling us to. We'll start in Matthew chapter 33, verse 44, and the common theme found in both of these parables about the kingdom of God is that once the kingdom of God is found, it is worth everything we possess to obtain and keep it. Once the kingdom of God is found, or once God brings us into his kingdom, it is worth everything to give up what we must and in order to obtain and to keep. So we read Matthew 33 again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The second is just like it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay? So what Jesus is saying through these parables is that the kingdom of God is infinitely greater and worth more than anything you have. Therefore,
Amen.
get rid of whatever you have, whatever is consuming you, whatever is your, amen. Whatever is your all in all, Jesus said, get rid of it, lay it down, sell it, dispose of it, hold it loosely, amen. Don't cling to it. Why? Because what he is offering, what he is bringing, what he has brought is worth us selling everything and buying or obtaining what he has brought to us, namely the kingdom of God. So notice these are the two parables that I want to look at. And Jesus makes it very clear that when a disciple comes to you, you'll remember even which scriptures we're not going to look at, because if we did, I go through all the Bible because it's a through line through the, so, and we don't have time to do all of that. But Jesus said, if any man come unto me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me.
Yes.
He said, if a man doesn't love his father and mother, his children, less than me, he says, he would have to be your chief love. What does that accord to? That accords to the first commandment back in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt have.
Lord God, my soul.
He's number one. He's number one. Somebody said, well, sure, God sure is egotistical. Hello. The very breath we breathe, he gives, he provides. Was that egotistical? No, he's number one. He's number one in everything. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. God be glorified. God
Amen. Praise
be
God.
high. For you are King of Kings and Lord. You're the creator of the universe. You own all things, even the very breath that we breathe. That's Daniel 5:23. Daniel told the king, God who holds your breath in his hand, you have not glorified. My God. Look the way it really is. Oh, God. God, if we knew it really is. When Jesus makes these, some people say, Jesus is so radical in his statements. Radical? Radical? We think we're old every day. People think they're old breath. You're not old anything.
Amen.
Like I said, I think it was a couple years ago. When you factor in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6, God says, I'm sorry that I made man. I'm going to wipe the earth clean of him. And God did it. Hello. He did it. Say, I don't go, I don't left away from my notes. I left away from my sermon.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, it is what it is.
Praise the Lord.
This almost every day. I'm like, when you consider Genesis chapter 6 and that God was just in what he did, in destroying everything that breathes. Please tell me, explain to me how we are here now. Because we are as wicked, if not worse, than those 10 generations that inhabited the earth before God took them out. I mean, I'm reading history, and it's sometimes I cry, sometimes I weep, sometimes I just have to put the books down and throw my head back and say, God, for real, this happened. We did this? Yeah, that's how bad, that's how sinful man was. He is. Oh, my God. No, Jesus says, sell all. Because what you have isn't worth, doesn't come close in any measure with any regard to the kingdom that he's bringing. So in this parable, we're not told what the treasure, we're not told what this man's treasure is. Okay, we're just told it's a treasure. Now, when you look up the word treasure, sometimes it has coins, you know, wealth, riches, but let's be clear, treasure is relative. One man's treasure is another man's trash.
Mm-hmm.
Even parable with Lazarus, the parable said, and Lazarus was just desiring to eat some of what the rich man was throwing away. He just wondered what the dogs would get, just the scraps, and he couldn't get that. Hello. And when the rich man was in paradise, Abraham said, no, you remember when you had it good and he had it bad. Well, now it's changed. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not told here what the treasure is. We're not told who put the treasure in the field. What we are told is that the treasure is very valuable to the one who found it, or to, in any case, to one who was looking for a treasure. Amen. You don't look for a treasure unless it has extreme value. Amen. You look.
Amen.
So we don't know if this man was looking for the treasure, but what we do know is that he found a treasure, right? We know he found it, at which point he hid it, Jesus tells us in this parable. And he goes on and says, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Joy over the treasure caused the man to sell all. Lord Jesus. Treasure found brings joy. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see people when they take the lottery ticket and they say, they call out the six number, they're looking at the screen, they look at the number, they're looking at the screen, looking at the number, and when they found they hit, they jumping for joy. They lost their mind and they can't, some people pass out. Well, that's, you know what they get is gonna be a mom. But anyhow, the joy is the issue. The kingdom of heaven is of greater value than what we possess. This is what this man finds. And for joy over it, he sells everything. It was the joy that he had over finding the treasure that caused him to sell everything. Jesus offered the kingdom to a man who refused the kingdom that Jesus was offering. We're going to look at that in a second. But imagine, here Jesus is offering the kingdom. And let's be clear, the treasure is the king and his kingdom.
Amen.
I mess it up and you don't get it. I want you to be very clear. The treasure is Christ and his kingdom. It's worth more than what we could ever possess. He is worth, and his kingdom is worth selling everything, getting rid of everything, that we might possess him, that we might have him. Jesus told John the Baptist, blessed is the man who's not offended in me. Because John wasn't alone in going to his death for the kingdom of God. Jesus did the same thing, right?
Amen.
Jesus will never tell you to go where he has not been.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Jesus will tell you to go where he's not going with you. He will never tell you to go where he's not going with you. Therefore, wherever he says to go, doubting nothing, we're going to go, Lord. We're going to go. All right. The reason why I say we're going to go is because this work of this parable is going on in us as I'm preaching. Has been since the day we met Christ. The kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, of the Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, is working in bringing us to a revelation, an understanding that what we have in this physical life is not worth, is not worthy to be compared with what he has for us in the next life. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, he was penniless. He didn't own anything. You can notice how the New Testament doesn't talk about what Paul had when he died. They're talking about what Peter had when he died. It doesn't talk about what, you know, what do people have? Well, it doesn't talk about it because they weren't rich in the things of this world. But what they were extremely rich in, they had Christ.
Amen.
They had Christ. So that bumper sticker that my Christian friend had years ago said, he who dies with the most toys wins, was totally, it's just insane. I saw, I'm like, are you serious, brother? Oh, come on, man. Oh, this world has no undoing value for us. Like, some people wonder why if they're not rich, they will, God, why come you ain't make me rich? Says, give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 30, the writer said, give me only what I need that day. Just give me what I need that day. Because if you give me too much, I might forget you and say, who is the Lord? If you give me too little, I may steal and take the name of God in vain. So it said, feed me with the food that is necessary for me. Have you ever noticed that's exactly what God does in our lives? That's exactly what we need. Not too much, not too little.
Amen.
So Jesus goes to, he's talking to, or rather he has a rich man comes to him. Well, let me read it. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And so we go on, and Jesus said to him, or the young man said, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. Commandment number 6. You shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 7. You shall not steal. Commandment number 8. You shall not bear false witness, commandment number 9. And you shall honor your father and your mother, commandment number 5. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is another extrapolation of the commandments given in a different form. In Leviticus 19:18, we find the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. But none of these cost this young man anything yet. None of these cost him anything. Not anything material, which he treasured. Now, you could argue much that is in there, and it is, but he didn't see it. Right? And he wasn't about to give up his riches, but we're going to look at where it goes. Then the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect. Lord Jesus, when I read that, Lord, if you want to be perfect, there ain't a perfect person on the planet. There's not a perfect person on the planet. And you know, we'll explain why. But this is what Jesus said to him. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So, you know, what we studied in the first two parables, we see Jesus saying the same thing here. He's saying, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. Now, why would Jesus tell him to sell what he has? Now, remember what I said. When Jesus tells you to get rid of what you have, it's because what he has for you is infinitely greater than what you have. Hello. God ever said, look, people been through it. You know, God ever said to you, give that up. Let that go. I told y'all about Leah, the one prayer service back when we were meeting on Wednesday nights in the church, and Leah coming there. Leah doesn't know a customer had given me a $100 tip, been burning a hole in my wallet for a month. I had that $100 sitting in my wallet. She didn't know nothing about that. I don't even know if Leah knows to this day. Well, yeah, because I gave it to her. But anyhow, so Leah comes into the service going on and on about this young man came up in her house. He didn't have a shirt. The boy was poor. He couldn't have anything to eat. One of Corey's friends. It was in a very bad way. She was crying, talking about how she wished she could. She didn't have any money. She couldn't do anything for this young man. But she wanted to minister to this young man, help this young man, at least buy him something, get him something, do something for this young man. And the whole time she's going on and on about it, the Holy Ghost is saying to me, you need to give her that $100 that I gave you. Amen. Anybody ever have that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So God said, you need to give her that $100 that I gave you. But see, when God says that, he knows that this flesh, all of a sudden, thinking that what he gave to me is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, gave that to me is mine. Jesus said, sell what you have and give to the poor. Now, let's be clear. When everything that this young man had, Jesus gave him. Now, the young man doesn't know it. He doesn't know that the breath that he's talking to Jesus is saying, all this I've kept came from Jesus. He created you. All of that belongs to him. So he's telling, sell what you have. Now, the young man, he would go immediately and sell everything. Why? Because he would gain Christ in his kingdom. Yeah, he would gain all of that, right? But also here, Jesus is really getting after the first commandment. Remember back here I said, 6, 7, 8, 9, 5, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus knew what was first and foremost in this man's heart. What does the first commandment say? It says, you shall have no other gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
It's God, the God-man, Jesus Christ, telling him to sell what you have and come and follow me. Right? Put me first. Follow me. But when the young man heard this, that saying, he went away sorrowful. He left Jesus. He said, no, Jesus. So Jesus was right here in saying, sell what you have, because Jesus knew what these things occupied in this man's heart. It was idolatrous.
No.
He said he was breaking the first commandment in a major way, but he couldn't see it. He didn't know it. And so he rejected God just like all Israel did, all of its, all of its existence. They went and worshiped a false god. That's why God sent them into captivity. Idolatry was the chief sin that sent them into captivity. And this young man was doing the same thing. Because when he heard, he went away sorrowful. Oh, why was he sorrowful? Why was he sorrowful? Because he had great possessions. And he thought, and rightly so, that in order to follow Jesus, he would have to give up his worship, his idolatry of these great possessions. And that was right. So please notice the sorrow here in contrast to the joy of the man who found the treasure in the field. This man is sorrowful because he's rejecting Jesus because he can't give up his idolatry. He's sorrowful. But the man who found the treasure in the field, it says, for joy, for the joy that he found the treasure. He went and sold everything, everything that he had. Now, the reason why he had no joy was because he had the wrong treasure. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
The book of Acts says when the, after, was it Acts chapter 5, when Peter, James, and John Peter and John were rebuked by the Sanhedrin after they were let go, after being beaten, the scripture says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit after being beaten. How can you be filled with joy after someone has abused you? Because you still possess the King and his kingdom. Look, they can't take that away from you. They can take your earthly possessions from you, but they can't take Christ. Lord, help us.
Amen.
When Jesus said, sell what you have, he's offering us something infinitely greater. But like this young man, a lot of people want to hold on to their possessions. Jesus is revealing the King, who he is, and his kingdom to people. And this, in this instance, this man shunned it and walked away, right? Now, Jesus, again, Jesus said to sell what he had, but the buying part was, come and follow me. Come and follow me. If that young man only knew who Jesus was. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. The same thing happens today. But to make it real clear, here it says, for joy over it, he sells all that he has and buys that field because of the treasure hidden in the field. He didn't just get the treasure. He bought the whole field. Hello. Everything that surrounded it. Now, to be clear, let's read Colossians chapter 2. That their hearts, Paul praying, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hidden, treasure hidden in a field. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus trying to give us some. How? He's talking about himself in this parable, and Paul draws it out here. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of his Father, which is the kingdom of Christ that he and the Father share. Amen. And he's talking about it here and offering it to people in by way of parables. But some people couldn't hear. Paul makes it very clear that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen.
Amen. Amen.
See, people think when they get to heaven, they're going to say, no, it's not going to work like that. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Colossians further says that it pleased God that in the Son all the fullness would dwell. When you get to heaven, you're going to see the Son. You're going to see Christ physically. He said, well, I'm not gonna see the Father. Well, let me ask you something. Can you see a spirit? That's in my notes. That's not in my notes. I'm sorry, I left my notes again. Let me get back. You say, well, but if I don't see the Father, how can I experience the Father? Do you see the Father now? Do you, oh Lord, do you experience him? Oh Lord God. Oh yes. Can you see the Holy Spirit now? Do you know he's there? Without question.
Amen.
You know, he's everywhere. He talks, he speaks. So, you'll see the Son. So let me now address, I've addressed the who the treasure is, but also the joy. Why? It says when the man saw the treasure, he got joyful. Hello. So once you receive Christ, you get the joy, because Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence. Why were the disciples filled with joy in the Holy Ghost after they were beaten for Christ? Because they still had Christ. And in his presence is fullness of joy. They, part of the joy for them was that even though after they got beaten, they were surprised that, hey, still beat the joy out of me. You cannot beat Jesus out of somebody. No. When Jesus brings someone into his kingdom, they belong to him. And nothing you can do can separate Christ from that person. Hello. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is what Christ was offering the young man. And for a few nickels, hello, he rejected Christ. Oh, Lord God. So when we read here, and for joy over it, for joy over it, over what? Over Christ, over the kingdom. For joy over it, he says, everything. So I'm going to have this. You remember when Zacchaeus, Jesus looked up at the tree, he said, Zacchaeus, now I got to stay at your house. Zacchaeus sitting there eating with him, and Zacchaeus just popped up and said, okay, Lord, restore what I stole from these people. I'm giving. What was he doing? Zacchaeus said, I'm selling everything. Because Zacchaeus' eyes were open. He saw who was sitting in front of him. He said, I'm giving up everything. And he followed him. Hello. He sold what he had and he bought it. He obtained the kingdom. Right? The young man, let me see. Joy is what we find when we find Christ. Joy, spiritual joy, though. Not the joy of this world. Not the fleeting joy. Eternal joy. The young man rejected Christ because he treasured earthly possessions over the Son of God. Never mind the fact that everything he had, Christ created. Was it David said in 1 Chronicles 29, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Hello. Which is better? Which is better? To possess the giver or the gift? We know which is better. We're being trained. We're being taught which is better. If we haven't understood it yet, we're being trained. Everything God gives us is a gift.
Amen.
When the giver says, let it go. Right, please know. Please know this. When God tells you to give something away, it's because he has greater for you. And I'm not talking about earthly possessions. Now, that may happen, but everything here is going to burn. So I'm not, when Christ tells us to give something away, it's because he wants us to have more of who he is. And that should fill us with joy. When we really understand who he is and understand how he works. Hello. See, when God does things, this is why a lot of people don't understand what God's doing on the earth. Even now, people prophesy and say, they try to prophesy why Trump is in office. They said because God, they have no clue what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You say why? I'll tell you why. Because what God does, he does from an eternal perspective. He has eternal perspective. Not a one of us. It's like looking at a million piece puzzle, and we got one little piece, and we said, this is what God's doing. What I see what he's doing right here. And hello, no. God makes decisions. His thoughts are not our, his ways are not our ways. Right? Now, when a person finds the kingdom, joy over the king and his kingdom causes one to hold loosely or sell or let go of the things of this life. Okay. We see it here in Luke chapter 12. We looked at this scripture or mentioned it at least a few weeks ago, where Jesus said, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay. So now the Father has given the kingdom. What do we say about the kingdom? Once you receive the kingdom, it's worth infinitely, is of infinitely greater value than anything we possess. Then that causes us to understand why Jesus would then say this, sell what you have and give alms. Sell what you have and give alms. To be clear, this is what Cornelius was doing in Acts chapter 10. He was praying and giving alms. And the angel even said, your prayers and your almsgiving has come up before God as a memorial. He was selling stuff. He was giving alms to people, giving alms, helping people, the poor and the needy. In Acts chapter 2, the scripture says that they continue in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread, in prayers, right? Says that they had all things common. People sold what they have to help other people. Further in Acts chapter 4, it says that, that they were giving again, they were selling their possessions, and they held all things common. And whoever had need, they would come and receive from the things sold, you know, from the provision sold. That's why in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira tried to mimic, they sold the property but kept back part of the price. They were messing with what Jesus said right here. They sold them, and they just wanted to look big in the eyes of people. Does that go on today? Sadly, yes, it does. But God is merciful. Hello, that people aren't dropping dead left and right. All right. Sell what you have, he said, and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. I thought to myself, oh, Lord, I need to dig into this. Now, Jesus says, empty your money bags here, fill them there. We know this. You cannot outgive God. When you give according to God's word, when I didn't finish telling that story. Yeah, so Leah kept going on about, and the Holy Ghost, at the end of that prayer service, I went up to Leah and I slipped her that $100. I said, Leah, here, take this. Go help that young man. Go help that young man. Because, and so I gave, right? I sold, I let go of it. Jesus says this, if you empty your money bags here, he says, sell what you have, provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail.
That's not failing.
Now, amen. Now look here, y'all. If, what's Jesus talking about when he says money bags in heaven? You gonna need money in heaven? Jesus, he's trying to convey something. He's speaking in earthly terms to convey a heavenly reality, right? He says a treasure in heavens, because we understand a treasure is valuable. Everybody wants treasure. People go get on ships and people are looking on idols for treasure. People losing their lives for treasure. So Jesus says, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. What are you saying? It won't corrupt. It won't rust. It won't fade. It's not earthly. It's heaven.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, what Jesus, according to the Old Testament, God told the Levites that they had no inheritance because their inheritance was him.
Amen. That's it.
That's greater than everything. It's him. Mm. God. Oh, God. That's what I want more than anything is Jesus. Because he's greater. Hello. He's greater than all. Okay. Let me get out of here. Leave this. So we see here that God gives us the kingdom. His kingdom. The question is, what's our part? Our part is to not hold on to what we have here, but to let it go. Now, does that mean you go sell everything and be on the corner of these people panhandling? No, it does not. Let's be clear. Does not mean that. God's going to provide all that we need, but God also gives us more than we need so that we can be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
Even sometimes the little that we do have, the boy with the fish, the little that we do have, is required of us to give it away to for God to multiply and produce so much more, right? They took up more after the 5,008 than the boy that they started with. That's God. Mm-hmm. That's why you cannot outgive God, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about giving to God to get to build our riches. That is not what I'm talking
right.
about. Please hear me.
Right.
Please hear me. Right. So when you see and value the king and his kingdom, you can freely give and let go of the things here. All right, real quick, the last parable, the second parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Now, this is what's interesting is that the first one talked about a man who found a treasure in the field. We have a merchant here seeking beautiful pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So evidently, a merchant seeks beautiful pearls to sell for profit. Merchant is in it to, you know, he's running his business, you know. And so he's trying to find pearls. Where do you find pearls? Well, you find pearls in oysters, you right? Presumably in the marketplace. It might be could find something on the beach, what have you. However, this parable says, when this merchant found one pearl of great price or of great value, right, like no other, it wasn't purchased and sold to someone else. He sold everything that he had and bought it for himself. Hey, he's not selling this pearl. Why? Because he recognized there's something different. Nah, not this one. I'm selling everything. You can't pay me for this. You can't buy this from me. He sold everything and bought it for himself. It wasn't purchased and sold to another, but acquired for oneself at the cost of everything, right? And this kind of mirrors a Paul story, because Paul was out killing Christians. In Acts chapter 9, when Christ revealed himself to him, and this is what Paul ended up saying later in Philippians chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Paul gave up everything for Jesus. Hello. What was gained to me? What was gained? He said a few verses earlier, he was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul was quite the Pharisee. He was above your regular average Pharisee. He was an exceptional Pharisee. But Paul lost and willingly gave up everything for the excellency of knowing Christ, Because he says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. There it is. He sold everything. He said, it doesn't matter. Just so that I might gain Christ. It is of no value to me without Christ. So Paul laid it all on the line. He ultimately laid his life. You remember they tried to kill him multiple times. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned 3 times. He was left for dead. You know, Paul gave it all. He laid it all down. He gave it all up. So the Lord told Israel, I'm still dealing with this sell and buy. Paul laid it all down. The Lord in the Old Testament told Israel to buy from him what they needed. Even those who had no money could buy with holy desire, thirst, and hunger for what God offered. And Isaiah 55 had a good friend who made a beautiful song about this years ago. Isaiah said, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. But let me ask you something. How do you buy something when you have no money? What is Isaiah talking about? Well, he's not talking about earthly things. Because ain't nothing free in this life. Hello. Right? He says, come to the waters. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah is prophesying about the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You'll find rest for your souls. He told the woman at the well, he says, if you knew who it was who was talking to you, he said, you would ask me and I would give you these waters right here. Come to the waters. And the woman left her pot, went into the city and told everybody, say, come to these waters out here, y'all. You don't have to meet this man. There's something going on here. This woman, what is it? And Jesus was telling them, come by and eat. He was offering to them a drink of the eternal waters. Jesus said, out of your belly would flow a river of living waters. This was different. Hello. This is what Isaiah was prophesying about. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Man, does that describe the day which we are living in? Amen. This world has reduced our attention span down to 30 seconds. YouTube used to be the rage. Now they come up with shorts. You watch a short in 15 seconds, 30 seconds. And by the time we think, well, I got to watch this next one. And you know, when you get to the end of all those videos, where are you at? Bankrupt. You're spending wages for what does not satisfy. We're spending, believe me, we are spending wages, but it's not money. America would have you look at the money. It's our time. It's our time. All given away for what cannot satisfy. And so Isaiah calls the people. God, through Isaiah, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in his abundance. That's what Christ was calling the people to. When we're done trying to satisfy our need for one more video, God says, oh, thirsty ones, let me satisfy your thirst and your hunger. Last scripture. Found in Revelation. Jesus is still calling his church. He's still calling his people. Because this was to an actual church, one of the seven churches, the Church of Laodicea, who said, of themselves, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. My goodness, could you be talking about the American church?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy. Remember in our first instance, he said, the man sold everything and he bought the field. Yeah, the man sold everything and he bought the pearl of great price. Jesus is still beckoning us to buy from him. Notice he says, these three things you can't get from any other place. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Let me help a little bit with 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter tells the church, he said that the gold refined in the fire is our faith. That's tried. It's much more precious than gold that perishes. Even though it is tried with fire, may be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This gold tried in the fire, it speaks to our faith that is tried. Your faith, my faith, is being tried right now as mm-hmm. gold is being tried. And God is going to make sure that through the trial of our faith, that is going to glorify him when he returns. That's what he's counseling us about. He's saying, don't give up your faith. Do everything that you have to do to maintain your faith in me and in his kingdom. Right? So he says, buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Ah, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. When Jesus says here that you may be rich, you know he's not talking about anything on earth. He's not talking about money. He's not talking about the lottery. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking about being rich in him. God help us.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, he says, and white garments. I counsel you to buy from me white garments. What are white garments? White garments are the righteousness of the saints, Revelation 3:4 and 5. They're the righteousness of the saints. And then he says, lastly, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. We could go into that, but we don't have time. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. This word eye salve is the only one of its kind mentioned in the whole of Scripture. It only comes from Christ, right? And what we get a picture of is Paul praying in Ephesians chapter 1. He says that he was praying that God would open up the eyes of their heart, that they would understand the revelation of Christ. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3, Solomon says, when you cry out for discernment, these people had eyes, they could see, but they had no discernment. They thought they were well off. They thought they needed nothing. They thought everything was fine. And Jesus said, no, it's the exact opposite. I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Because I can't take you. I can't stand you. How? The eye salve that comes from the Holy Spirit gives us discernment to see and understand our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the times that we're living in. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Intangible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Intangible is what Christ came to give us. So, if you're not falling over with money, if the preachers on TV tell you you have no faith, you broke because you have no faith, please don't listen to that. Please don't listen to any of it. You know, we are evermore being brought to a fuller understanding and appreciation of the kingdom of God. And this work, as this work continues, so will our willingness to hold loosely everything that we have, ready to let it go for the purpose of maintaining what God has given us through Christ, his son, and this kingdom that he's brought us into. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Praise the Lord. It's good.
Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Coming on today, amen. If you have any needs during the week, just, you know, contact us. We'll be in prayer and we'll be there physically too, if we possibly can be. But until Tuesday, we can come and pray again until next week.
Amen.
God bless your Sunday and the balance of your week.
Yep. Amen. God bless.